The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, thank you and good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We're keeping it local, and this morning we are continuing with a conversation from Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. In fact, if there's some issues that you're wanting to know about, we're going to open up the lines, and you can text us questions at 615-893-1450. That's the text number to lock in. 615-893-1450. Commissioner Harris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. Thank you for having me on.
Good to have you. Appreciate it. Good to have you with us. As you look at issues that are before the county commission, I guess the biggest thing right now is working on the budget. Here we are in May. The budget is got to be close to being finished, I guess.
Yeah, we start our budget process Tuesday, actually, and I'm on the budget committee, so we're getting ready to go over every single part of the budget and start looking at it and seeing if there's areas we need to address. But I feel very confident, Bart, that, you know, we don't have to worry about a tax increase this year.
What do you foresee as far as areas that need tweaking or any kind of adjustments in the budget?
Well, there's always, you know, there's always a want budget and there's always a need budget. And, you know, we had such a huge tax increase last year, you know, that I'm wanting to make sure our spending's down, that we're not going into areas of you know, just building stuff. And I want us to be very, you know, very conservative on our budget.
So are there areas that you're telling the people who are in charge of departments, hey, you need to do a little tweaking and drop it down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we ask them for needs budget, but I mean, you know, we have to take care of our employees. We have to, you know, we have to take care of them. We have to make sure that we're running as, you know, Rutherford County is a very efficient county. We're at AAA rating with Moody, and people go, well, what does that mean? I hear it all the time. That means we're very financial stable. So I take a lot of pride in Rutherford County having that rating. And that also means that we run in our departments very efficiently. We have some really all-star department heads, and I'm very excited about it. But you got to also look at things that are coming on, like we have new public safety buildings, and you got to staff those. And, you know, the mayor, fought for a transfer station, which you got to have people for that, equipment for that, and that's an increase that we're going to have as well in spending.
So do you see any major new openings of buildings or services in this coming fiscal year?
Well, I know that the mayor is trying to get a forensic center built, so that would be, you know, close to $15 million that I know of. Another school's coming, so, you know, that's going to be up there, and cost a lot of money. So, yeah, I do see some building coming on.
Let's talk about that forensic center, because that's been very much in the news. And obviously we're sort of sitting on a time bomb waiting for an explosion. And that could come any time with major accidents on the interstate, airplane crash. You know, could be anything that you need that facility for. The one in Nashville, it fills up pretty quickly, and sometimes you have to wait months.
Yeah, you know, the Forensic Center, it's, you know, I kind of go back and forth on that. Speaking with the sheriff, and you know, I have a relationship with Sheriff Fitzhughes and Deputy Chief Lowry. Some of the things, I'm going to give an example. There was a child that was that had died, and from a suspected fentanyl overdose. A child. And, you know, that's murder. And it took them almost four to five months to get the autopsy report back to verify this. So there's things that we need a forensic center on. And, you know, I just question, there's no doubt we need one. I just, you know, I just don't know if now's the right time. But that's one of the things that we're looking at is trying to be more efficient. And, you know, Nashville takes 4 months, Bart, to get a report in. You're talking about in a murder case, that's unbelievable. And then, you know how strong I am on opioids and how I've been trying to champion this county to be more efficient and to battle the opioid epidemic. Some of my numbers are skewed. I mean, I'm coming on here today say, you know, Bart, we had 130 deaths in 22. All right, we had 101 in 23. That's a significant decrease.
Oh,
but those numbers could be skewed because, I'm telling people these numbers, and it could be 4 months before I get the actual numbers. You know, most of our reports are being suspected, and we feel pretty confident, yes, it's an overdose. But to have that clear-cut information, it's taken us 4 months to get those numbers back, and that's just, it's unnecessary.
And you can have anybody have an opioid overdose, I guess. They don't have to be a person who's hooked on opioids, I guess.
Yeah, and that's such, like, some people say, well, okay, we had 130 deaths in 22. There's a lot of deaths that skews the numbers. Like, for instance, someone can die of a heart attack, all right? And that could be caused by fentanyl overdose. And but that doesn't go towards opioid deaths. Goes towards heart attack. So that's things you look at. And then, like, if someone overdoses here in Rutherford County and they transfer them to Vanderbilt or transfer them to Nashville and they die there, that number goes on Nashville's. So I think our numbers are higher than what we're projecting.
So our numbers, do they determine the amount of federal or state funding that we get?
It does. And we get, right now, When Bill Ketron was in the lawsuit for the pharmaceutical companies, we took a chance, and I just felt like when we were going with the state, do you remember the cigarette settlement, tobacco settlement?
Sure, yeah.
And they didn't really put guidelines on how to spend that money. So a lot of that money was going towards other things and not necessarily going towards the problem. And I felt like if I wanted to use the money for our programs here in Rutherford County, and not necessarily be told what to do, but to be able to help these organizations without having any handcuffs on us. Well, we took a chance, and we decided to do a class action suit instead of going with the state. And we were successful. Now, at the end, we had to get with the state, for the settlement, and everybody, we had to be together to close that out. But we got 15%. Of all that money goes strictly to Rutherford County, and we can spend it any way we want. It's unrestricted. So that amounts like $550,000 a year for the next 18 years. So we had that. But then the other 85% is in a restricted manner. And all those guidelines that they have for the opioid settlement fits every bit into our plan. So we are really fortunate, and we're getting right at 1.3 to 1.5 million a year on that. So we've already given out almost $900,000 to organizations around here and to our Rutherford County government and to our police sheriff's department. And we're making a significant, we're making an impact. And I'm very, Bart, it's always more and more we can do. But we're on the right path, and I got some. I got an all-star lineup in my committee, and we're passionate. They're smart, and we're making some headway, and I'm excited about that.
Now, for somebody listening who is not up to date on what the opioid epidemic is, sort of give us your description of what this is. Is this people who are just taking drugs? Are they overdosing on just whatever they can find? Are they accidentally overdosing on prescriptions? What is this?
Well, one of the things, opioids, of course, it's mostly associated with pain pills. So we have a lot of, last year we had over 850 overdose calls. So we had right at, 101 deaths, and I think there's probably 20 more added to it. But we, it used to be that people were overdosing on opioids, which would be pills. And, of course, heroin is an opioid, too. And then once the pills became harder to get, then most people went to heroin. So we see a lot of heroin overdoses. Now a drug came out called fentanyl. And this drug is, you know, it doesn't take very much for you to OD. And a lot of the drug dealers and a lot of the people that are associated with drugs are mixing heroin with fentanyl because it gives you more of a euphoria and high. But that stuff is so dangerous, Bart, that it's killing people. Now, you know, we're seeing traces of it in marijuana. And can you just imagine if that's in marijuana, as widespread as that is? It's dangerous. And it's almost scary to even think about.
So are there people who have passed away or have severe problems due to this opioid epidemic, and they have not been drug users? They've just been people who've been sick and taking prescriptions but do something wrong. Is that in on this, or is this strictly the people who do it on purpose for the high?
No. One of the things that we do with our Opioid Abatement Council is we concentrate on three areas: awareness, education, and we and recovery. Now, let's just go all those three. Awareness, we have put billboards up around the county. We have sent out direct mail. We have worked with organizations for us to solve a problem, Bart. We got to admit there is a problem. And that's one of the things that we've done since 2018, since I became a commissioner. Now, the education part is I really pushed hard with the school superintendent, Jimmy Sullivan. And while I'm talking about Jimmy Sullivan, I want to send out my prayers to his family, you know, with his son, Archer. I'm a big fan of Jimmy Sullivan, and I'm saddened by that. And I hope and pray that our county can say prayers for him and his family and hope we have a good outcome on this.
There was a huge turnout yesterday.
It was beautiful. Wasn't that great?
I never expected it. But when I got near it, I saw all these cars, and I thought, are they going where I'm going?
Yes, it was.
And they were.
It was that Rutherford County came out and showed just how good our county is and how much we care about each other. And probably one of my proudest moments for this county. And we need that. We need people to help us. You know, Bart, you know, you've been doing this a long time, and you know, I've been doing this a long time, and you know, what happened to Dr. Sullivan and his son Archer, it's just, you know, we need everybody. We need every prayer warrior we got out there, and I think we came out and we're showing him, hey, we're here for you, and we're praying for you.
And it also shows the community, this is what we are.
Yes. I mean, it's a proud moment. I think, you know, and I've gotten several calls, and you know, Dr. Sullivan, he gets vilified sometimes because of school budgets and all that stuff, but he's a good man, and he's somebody that I respect immensely, and this saddens me, and I'm really praying and hoping this turns out.
We will be following that closely, and hopefully it will have a happy ending there.
Yeah. And first of all, I said Archer, it's Asher.
We're talking this morning with Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris, and he's with us this morning to talk about the Rutherford County area issues that you're concerned with. A listener just sent us a text here, and they're asking about, they had heard on the news this morning, an update on the recent death of the county mayor over in Coffee County.
Yes,
they had a report on he passed. He was found deceased in his home. I think it was a month or so ago. I know we had it on the news then. They just had a report, so they're just getting it back from his autopsy. So I guess they sent it to Nashville, and even a case like that didn't get through quickly. But they are saying that he died of an overdose in connection with his heart disease. Is that something that would be counted in this epidemic? And I guess if they sent the body to Nashville for an autopsy, Davidson County got the results of that as opposed to Coffee County,
yes,
as we would too.
Yes. I have not heard that it was complications due to opioid. I have not heard that, but that happens a lot. And if it is that complication, instead of that being an opioid death, and like I said, I don't know anything about this. I'm just giving you, you know, how it works. It would be considered a heart attack. and not an opioid. But if the autopsy says it is related, then that would be an opioid death. But he died in Nashville, so Nashville, that would go towards him.
Died in Coffee County, yeah. But the autopsy.
No, then Coffee County, that would be considered in Coffee County.
Okay, so, but we are, to let people know, and you could help us confirm this, if we have a major number of deaths due to a major tragedy, we only have the facilities, I think, at Rutherford County Hospital, at the Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford. Is that the only place we have right now?
Yes, and let's say...
And that's three or four people, period.
Yeah, they send them to Nashville, but yes, St. Thomas, Ascension, all them, they get a lot, if not all, of the overdoses that we have here. Now, there's a lot of times our police officers will, you know, we have Narcan and our EMS and Brian Gaither and his organization and Larry Farley and these guys, man, they have Narcan and Sheriff's Department. They help these kids save these lives a lot of times.
So how often do they help in that? I mean, is this something that we would be shocked to learn how many drug overdoses we have?
Absolutely. I mean, you're looking at, you know, like I said, over 850 calls just in 23 alone. And, you know, Bart, we're growing 7 people a day. So the more population we get, the more those numbers are going to rise. So we have a long ways to go. And then I guess I need to tell you, I got updated my committee Wednesday. There's a new drug out there. And I don't know if I'm going to say the name. It's the xylothine, I believe is how you say it. It's an animal tranquilizer. And it is now, we have found traces of it in some of our, we had Nashville confiscated 120,000 opioid pills. And out of those pills, which was fentanyl, they had this trace of this new drug. And Bart, it's unbelievable. It makes people look like their skin is falling off. And now it's here, and Narcan doesn't work on that. So
Narcan
now
doesn't work.
No, it works on the fentanyl part of it, but it doesn't work on the xylothine. And I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's scary. I mean, Bart, their skin's literally falling off, and it's starting to be more and more in these drugs, and it scares me to even think that. And we had Sergeant Holtz from Nashville came in there, and I had him try to educate our committee as to what this is. And I was in shock. I really was. I cannot believe that drug is out there.
Now, if the new drug that's just out is just not effective at all, the thing that the police have with them to bring you back if you're overdosed, did the people who manufactured that drug design it specifically not to work, not to be able to bring the person back to life and save them?
No, I mean, first of all, it's an animal tranquilizer, so why in the world would anybody take that? You know, of course, Narcan doesn't affect an animal tranquilizer, so it just completely blows my mind. But, you know, meth, there's batteries in that and corrosives. And people come up with these things, and it just blows my mind. And I've said that 2 or 3 times. And it seems like, Bart, every time we attack something, like opioid and heroin, here comes fentanyl. And now we're going after fentanyl, here comes something else. And it's disheartening. But that doesn't mean we don't quit trying and quit trying to do everything we can, which we have to try to help people with awareness, education, and recovery.
We'll be talking more about that in just a moment. Right now, we'll check the weather and traffic. Stay with us. Our guest this morning, Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris. Are you concerned about the opioid epidemic? You never know who it's going to impact. Maybe you, maybe your child, maybe your grandchild. Maybe by accident, an adult that just didn't even know what they were doing, but have other medications for heart disease, cancer, who knows what. Let us know your thoughts. 615-893-1450. If there's a specific question about the Opioid Abatement Council, let us know that too. All at 615-893-1450. 1450. Talk or text.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, and our hand-fed baby bird nursery is starting to fill up. If you are looking for your next sweet feathered companion, come in and see us. Find your next pre-loved, pre-spoiled pet here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our downstairs level. Here at Animal City, we would like to thank Murfreesboro for letting us be your family-owned and operated pet store for 33 years. Animal City is located at 919 Northwest Broad Street.
Are you tired of constantly spending money on sprays and other things to control mosquitoes around your home? If so, come by Holden Hardware and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators. When used properly, the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators will kill mosquitoes. Come by Holden Hardware on the square and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators. This year, make mosquito control easier and cheaper. Come by Holden Hardware on the square and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, take control of your account management and energy consumption with the MyMTE app. Download from the App Store and manage your account, improve your energy habits, and more. MTE, serving to make life better since 1936.
This is MTSU President Sidney McPhee. You're listening to WGNS, your local connection to Blue Raider Atlanta.
WGNS AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Happy birthday to Jimbo Vinson. Jimbo is our birthday winner this morning, and he receives the delicious banana pudding from our friends over at the Slick Pig Barbecue. Jimbo Vinson, happy birthday. And our good neighbor of the day is Amy Miller, the person who nominated Amy. She said she makes everybody around her feel important and lets their opinions be known. What a good, that's a good neighbor. Amy Miller, she'll be receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. That's a group of folks who can help you. Mother's Day is, oh, don't forget that. Mother's Day is this Sunday, very definitely. And our friends over at Ryan's Flowers Coffee and Gifts, they're there to help you. 615-893-1450, talk or text. Whichever you prefer. We're talking this morning about Rutherford County. So many things happening in Rutherford County. We've touched a bit on the budget. We've touched on the Opioid Abatement Council a tad. One thing we haven't touched on, and that continues to be in the news, I know we have been short on money in collections sometimes, which is why we had the property tax increase. That's the only area you can raise money in, I believe. Property tax, right?
Well, you know, we've had some other areas that we've been increased revenue. I have been very big on trying to bring revenue in. You know, one of the things that I spearheaded was trying to get liquor by the drink in the county, you know, because Murfreesboro was getting, you know, over $1 million of that tax, and we weren't getting anything. And I felt like that's bringing in some revenue. TISA, which our delegation helped us get more money with TISA for education, schools, and projects. So that number increased. But the other thing that we were trying to do, I think, you know, the mayor was trying to get an impact fee in, and it wasn't popular, you know, but it was, he was trying to do something there, but the Home Builders Association, you know, they had their ideas of what they wanted to do, as well as the realtor lobbyists. And they worked with our delegation. And, you know, I want to, you know, shout out to our delegation. You know, they worked hard and tried to help us. And then people, they get, you know, people beat them up and all this stuff. And we ended up getting $1.50 a square foot for residential housing and $1.50 for commercial.
Is this on new residential housing or on all?
No, yes, new residential, okay, and it's also new on commercial.
So this does focus on people who are moving in, that
yes,
who are causing the problem.
Well,
I mean,
yes,
it's not a problem, but it is causing increased taxes because you have to have a school that's big enough to you know, teach the students. You have to have roads that are good enough to handle the increased traffic. It does cost money. You have to have more policemen because you have more people.
Yes, and, you know, and I sat down with the home builders and I sat down with the realtors, and I did this, you know, like 8 or 9 months ago, and I asked for $2.25 a square foot. And, of course, we didn't get nowhere near that. You know, they offered $1.50, and
they're concerned.
That's not enough, but that's, you know, they stepped up to the plate and they tried to help us, and a lot of people vilify them, and I don't believe that the home builders should be the sole beneficiary of our debt. I mean, you know, people don't see that, you know, when you build a house, they see developers, and I get that, but those houses also pay painters, also pay people that work here, you know, drywall companies, cabinet companies. You know, there's a lot of aspects that go into building.
So this money is coming strictly from the construction of the home, not necessarily divided up with the people who build the home.
Yeah, no, it's strictly from the home builder. So he has to pay $1.50 a square foot for the house. So the average size house in Rutherford County is about 2,400 square feet. So it used to be, for years, all we got was an impact fee of $1,500. Well, I changed, I spearheaded changing that to $1 a square foot. And that gave us almost $4 million extra by changing that to $1 a square foot. And then, you know, Bart, I got hammered. People said, you know, you sold out, you did this, they'll never come back and give us more. And that just wasn't true. I mean, we got $1.50, and then there's, you know, now they're saying, oh, you know, we're never going to get any more money. And that's not true. You know, we're going to go back to the table. It'll be in the near future. But, you know, builders are trying to help us. And you know, you've been in this game a long time, Bart, and you know how strong lobbyists are. And, if you know, you can have great ideas, but if people are not supporting it at the state level, or the governor, or, you know, the lieutenant governor, if we're not having that support, which we didn't have, we're not going to get anything in. Yeah, let me be very specific. It's not enough, but it is something. And it's bringing in $7 million of additional revenue to this county.
Let me ask you this, because the picture we have of this impact fee issue is our county commissioners formed a committee. And they went, set up on a meeting to present their ideas to this committee of state legislators. They knew you were coming. And we understand that when you arrived, you walked in, and that committee started looking around, never looking eye to eye at any of you, and acted almost as if there's nobody in here, and never acknowledged you. Is that accurate? Did that happen?
Well, you know, like I said, I was always a proponent for the school facilities tax, so I wasn't involved in that group. What I can tell you is Charlie Baum was presenting on behalf of the county, and a lot of commissioners went up there in support. The mayor was the pinpoint, and they didn't even give him a motion. They didn't even listen to him, and I have never seen that in politics.
What do you think
is
causing that? I mean, that's
you know, it's just, you know, it's the home builders were not for it. Our delegation was not for it, and you know, if our own delegation has a, you know, are not in line with the mayor's proposals, or, you know, even the commissioner's proposal, if they're not in line with it, why would, you know, how is it going to get passed? You know, because you know that the state representatives in other counties, they're going to go by what the delegation does here. And they're going to say, hey, if your own delegation don't support it, why should we support it? And our delegation was not behind that, you know, impact fee at all.
Let me ask you this, because this keeps running through my mind. We hear about the delegation's not for it, or so-and-so's not for it. Are the delegations representing the thoughts of the public, the residents, the people who live here? Because I thought those were the ones who created the delegations, who
yes,
voted for you.
And that is correct. And it is. And the thing, it's really, the way I can explain it the best way is this. They did go out there and they did get us $7 million. they're trying to help Rutherford County. They also got us more money with TISA. A lot of people don't see that.
What is TISA?
TISA is the state money granted, given to us from the state of Tennessee for education. So that money, we used to have what's called a BEP ratio, and it was every single county got the same exact money. If you're a Clay County with two schools, a Rutherford County with, 50 schools, they got the same amount of money. It was so flawed. Well, they came in here, our delegation and the state house and the senators, and they changed it to a TISA program, which helps fast-growing counties. So that money is no longer, it's based on how much we grow, and that's why I think we got $54 million last year. So those things, our delegation was behind that. I think the delegation is, it's kind of like we got to get things passed. Our delegation is only seven, and it's going to take 51 votes to get through the House. So you got to have other people supporting this. So do I think that they were doing for the people? I think they had every intention of doing everything for the people. And I think with the lobbyists, banging on them and killing everything that we're trying to do. And then the lobbyists came through and said, we're going to help. We're going to do what we can. And they did what we can. And we got, $7 million we didn't have.
I think people, based on some figures that County Mayor Joe Carr shared with us the last time he was on the radio, which was just about a week ago, if you look at the population of our students, the number of students for Rutherford County schools, county alone, not city, that alone puts us as having a larger school system than Hamilton County. So that puts Shelby, Davidson County, and Knox County ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
If you add the students from Murfreesboro City Schools, and I think you probably should do that because they do live in this county and they do have families who are here paying taxes, what have you. If you put the city school student population with the county schools, we have more students than Knox County. Have you heard those figures?
I have not heard those figures. I know the city schools, which are funded by the city, but...
But there's still people, and they're still in Rutherford County.
I think the county has right at 52,000 students. So we're a large, large school population. But we're also top 10 or in the top echelon of school systems in the state. And, we're running a very efficient. School board's doing a great job. Superintendent Sullivan's doing a good job in his staff. And we're one of the top programs in the state. Bart, we're growing. And, when you grow seven people a day, I tell people this story all the time. We talk about property tax and how it's one of those things, like when somebody moves in, let's say somebody moves into a 2,300 square foot house, which is what the average is, all right? And based on the last census, we had 2.3 kids per household, all right? So out of that 2,300, we're getting somewhere around $1,600 to $1,800 in property tax. Now, it costs almost $8,700, somewhere around there, for a kid to go to school once a year, one kid. All right. The schools or the state gives us around 65%, give us back in TISA and that. That still leaves $3,000-something. And you're only collecting $1,600 in property tax. That's just for schools. We have EMS, we have fire department, we have sheriff's department. Doesn't even come close to touch you, man. So growth, to me, does not pay for itself. And I don't think, I don't think the home builders are the prime benefactors of our debt. But I also don't think, property tax should be just, 16% was high. And one of the things people say, well, you voted for it. Yeah, but I didn't vote for spending extra money neither. So that's something that I'm completely, I don't want to see spending more money. But I don't want to see our taxes going up. But unfortunately, if we don't come up with better ways of raising revenue, we're going to be in that situation where all we have is property tax. But we're working on that. And I'm going to tell you a couple of things that I think that we can deal with. Number one is I've said that we need to raid the mineral severance tax. That is a tax on gravel, sand, anything that comes out of the ground. Bart, we get right now 15% on a ton on a 15 cents on a 15%. I don't know. I'm losing my mind here a little bit. That amount hadn't been increased in 35 years.
This is on gravel, anything taken from the ground.
So that's one of the things that we got to raise. I'm also trying to get our delegation to look at trying to get loans with the lottery money or the gambling money, interest-free loans. I mean, that would save us a lot of money. You know, those things are stuff that I'm looking at trying to raise money for us. I'm also asking our delegation to look at maybe giving us a little bit more proportion of the sales tax, and that would help also. But these are areas that, you know, everybody keeps talking about home builder, and we got to find other ways of revenue. And I think the answer to this problem is not ABC. It is ABCDEFG. There's a lot of things.
A little bit here, a little bit there.
Yes, sir. That's what me and the delegation, we feel, you know, the county commissioners feel this way, and I'm speaking for them, some of them anyway, that we had to have various other avenues to raise revenue instead of just trying to do it all on school facilities tax or impact fee.
A real interaction between the public and our county commission. Our guest this morning is County Commissioner Craig Harris. We have some more questions from you, the listeners. We'll be back and check on those after we see what that weather's going to be.
Don't throw away old flags. WGNS retires Old Glory with respect. Bring those tattered Bibles here, too. We're more than talk.
We're learning about Adam's Place.
My name is Carrie Shannon. It was kind of hard to leave, but once you leave and you see where you've come to, you know that you made the right decision.
Do you enjoy the food?
Yes, at Adam's Place, you feel like you are in an upscale restaurant. Really good food, good for you, and is very delicious. We enjoy it very much.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me about Adam's Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
If you're looking for an authentic relationship with financial experts who genuinely care about your unique needs, Capstar Bank is for you. Capstar Bank is dedicated to the people of this community. Capstar Bank wants to help you reach your financial goals because at Capstar Bank, you matter to us. Capstar Bank, 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, capstarbank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
When it comes to your home, memories and sentimental value are priceless. Farrah Construction can remodel your home or can update your kitchen, bath, or other rooms. I'm Ron Hall. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Call Farrah Construction at 615-893-6120. That's Farrah Construction. I'm Ron Hall. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon, high in the low 70s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 49. By Saturday, sunshine high of 77 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 64.
And our show this morning is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Middle Tennessee Electric's EV Car Club has hundreds of members, and they're growing. EV, electric car, the EV owners, enthusiasts, and anyone interested in learning more about electric vehicles, you're encouraged to sign up at mte.com/EV Car Club. Nice folks over there. Welcome back. Our guest this morning, Commissioner Craig Harris, and we're talking about ways to raise money for the county. And you were looking at different ways to bring money in. We have a comment and a question, I guess, really, from a listener who's saying, we keep hearing about people being sentenced to different crimes, and other counties who don't have a jail send them to our Rutherford County Adult Detention Center. Sometimes they are sentenced to federal prison or state prison. And they don't ever seem to get away from Rutherford County. We get paid so much to have these prisoners, but it's never enough to cover the actual expenses.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure on this, but I think it's $65 a day is what we get paid on. And I believe me, that number could be skewed, but I think somewhere around $65 a day is what we get reimbursed on that. But our jails are very close to being full. You know, we're probably in the 80% percentile. So we don't take in as many prisoners as we don't take in as many as some people think. But we do take in some, and we also take in some with the juvenile kit, but we charge for that. So it costs, you know, it costs roughly around, I think the sheriff made a statement, this was a year or two ago, that, you know, we're around $65 a day.
But the government, other governments who keep their prisoners here, who are supposed to, the courts will say, send them on, the trial ends and says, you're sentenced to state prison.
Mm-hmm.
They never get out of here to go to state prison because the state, I guess, isn't except maybe they're full. I don't know.
Well,
but we're not being paid what it cost us.
Yeah, I think there's some that get brought here, but it's not a significant number.
Okay, so that I think that's the thing that's confusing, and the confusion creates concern.
Sure, I understand. And, you know, we don't – I'd love to have a jail with nobody in it. To be honest with you, I mean, the more the people we get in that jail, then it gets to a point, Bart, of, okay, our jails are not going to be able to hold but a certain amount. Now we're going to have to look at expanding our jail. That's $60-something million.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we're looking at that. But at my last talks with the sheriff is that wasn't a significant number.
If any of you remember this, maybe I'm the only old guy around. When the jail was built, before the jail was built, right before that, we had the big city center, the multi-story, 13, 14-story building downtown Murfreesboro. And I always thought, I wonder what the next high-rise is going to be. I just, in your mind, you think it's going to be somewhere in the downtown area. You're going to start see a cityscape with that look to it. It wasn't downtown. The second high rise was our jail. And I thought, we'll never fill it up.
Mm-hmm.
But within a very short time, it's full again.
I would have liked to have seen the jail have more floors.
And I know they had talked about, they built it supposedly to enable it to have more.
Yes. So that's things that we're going to have to look at. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to purchase on behalf of the county was a State Farm building, you know, and I had gotten a letter of intent. I was negotiating trying to buy that, and I thought we had a shot at it, Bart. And, you know, I think that building has it's owned by another company out of Arizona, but they leased it to State Farm, and State Farm's paying, I'm thinking, somewhere around $360,000 a month for rent on that, and got a multi-year lease. So State Farm was like, yeah, we want to work with the county on this too and help you purchase this. And I thought we had a good shot at it. There could have been a ton of stuff we could have done there. Forensic center, all that stuff could have been done there. And they came back with a crazy number, and we're just like, we can't afford it. You know, I mean, I was thinking that could be a good place for a forensic center. It could have been a great place for a school. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that building,
but it's beautiful.
It's unbelievable. And I really was hoping, you know, that we could get that. We could also put the administration of the sheriff's department over there, which would free up space. But it fell through. So we're going to have to look at other avenues.
In reality, do you think that's ever going to really come through until the lease with State Farm and the company that owns the property, until that lease expires? Because they have no incentive to sell.
No.
I mean, they're getting their rent no matter whether it's empty or full.
Yes, and, you know, and that hurts you on negotiations.
Oh,
you know, now the only thing that I think that would be that would help us is if they needed cash or they needed, you know, revenue. I'm pretty sure that they still have anywhere between 6 to 7 years lease on that with State Farm. So they're having to pay for that thing for, you know, at least if they don't do anything, you know, I'm guessing here, but based on the negotiation we had a couple of years ago, it was, you know, 6 to 7 years.
But left. Think, what will that building be worth 6 or 7 years from now? Nobody in it over that 6 or 7 year period. I guess maintenance has been minimal because there's nobody there watching it, is there?
Yeah, no, it's going to be worth a lot of money.
Just because that's, of where
that's
it is.
When you know when
it's
I
the land.
Yeah, when I started negotiating with them on that, I was I had it in my mind this would help this county immensely, and I really thought we had something. But you know, maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am.
Let's look at. We've got about 2 minutes left. Don't want to waste the time here. Let's go back to the Opioid Abatement Council. Sort of give us what you see in the future. What are your needs there, and where is it going?
Well, I think that we're going to always have a problem, but we have to educate. We have to educate our children and show them the avenues of drug addiction, where it leads. And I've always said that we have to show the ugliness of this, because I really believe that our kids, simplified way. But if a kid comes to school with a ugly jacket and everybody makes fun of him, they're going to shun it. You know what I mean? And I think if we show the ugliness of this drug, ugliness of drug addiction, I think kids will shun this. Now, what do we want to do? Well, what we want to do is we want to come together as a county and address this problem. And that's by getting organizations like Doors of Hope or Hustle Recovery or these various organizations throughout the county and to work with them and to try and get our message out there and help people and say, hey, we're here, we're listening, and we want to help.
There you heard it right from our county commission, and that's Commissioner Craig Harris with us this morning. Thank you so much for sharing.
Bart, it's always an honor to come on here and talk to you. And like I said, I told you and Scott I will come on here more, and I would be more than glad to talk to you about anything good, bad, or hard to talk about.
We're keeping you informed on what's happening with our county government. Stay with us. Much more to come this morning right here on WGNS Murfreesboro. One more reminder, don't forget, Sunday is Mother's Day.